Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's game with words, legendary for its difficulty. Just how difficult?
I would say that it's a battle that lasts more than a day, because you have to pitch a tent and have a sleepover.
It's a contest that demands much of its listeners, much from those who would dare to play.
I can quote you a couple of lines from Oliver Goldsmith. Do you want to hear? Ill fares the land to hastening ills a prey, where wealth accumulates and men decay.
Wow.
Drown that man.
And in the end, who will win? Who knows?
With all the nonsense going this stage, with all these definitions.
The audience knows. Does the band know?
The band knows.
I was on this show once with a band won.
Yeah, it's true.
Says You and All That Entails, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. In southern Brazil, emergency workers still searching for victims of a devastating nightclub fire. Right now, police in the town of Santa Maria say more than 200 people are dead and at least 200 are injured. The cause of the fire under investigation. Local reports say it broke out overnight while a band using some sort of fireworks display was performing. Leading academics have wrapped up this year's World Economic Forum with a series of predictions of what the future holds. Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports a gathering the Swiss Alpine Resort of Davos sees both a bleaker and more hopeful future emerging from world events and scientific achievements.
Scientists at the forum agree climate change will lead to more extreme weather events, causing economic turmoil. They predict the warming of the Earth will cause seas to rise with catastrophic consequences for humanity. A business professor predicts new technologies will render many jobs obsolete. On the other hand, a computer scientist holds forth the promise of driverless cars within the next 5 to 15 years. A researcher at MIT says new technologies for analyzing the brain will produce significant advances in fighting mental illness. However, the forum ends on a sour note, with another expert predicting the doubling of computer power will reach its limits in a couple of generations. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
The capital of Ethiopia is hosting African leaders today. Their meeting is likely to focus on the conflict in Mali. The African Union says it will deploy troops in Mali, where French forces are helping the Malian army push back Islamist extremists. The U.S., meanwhile, expanding its support to the French military. The Pentagon says it will conduct aerial refueling missions for French fighter jets and bombers. At least 24 Afghans are dead as a result of 4 different explosions across the country this weekend. Afghan police have been the main victims of the attacks, as NPR's Sean Carberry reports from Kabul.
The latest blast killed 10 people in southern Kandahar province, 8 of them police officers. They struck an IED while driving back to Kandahar City after defusing a bomb and detaining suspects. In northern Kunduz province, a suicide bomber on a motorcycle killed 10 police officers, including the head of counterterrorism and the traffic department chief for the province. A remote-controlled explosive placed in a bicycle killed 2 people in eastern Ghazni province, and in western Faryab province, 2 police officers died when their vehicle struck a roadside bomb. The Taliban have been increasingly targeting Afghan security forces, most often with suicide attacks and IEDs. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, drawing the anger of mourners who turned out today for the funerals of some 36 people killed in yesterday's rioting in the city of Port Said. And from Washington, this is NPR News. Forecasters are warning of dangerous travel conditions in parts of the Midwest and Great Lakes regions. National Weather Service forecaster Bob Orovec says freezing rain is in the forecast for later today.
We have numerous freezing rain advisories, winter storm watches, and winter storm advisories across that area, and the biggest impact is going to be from freezing rain, and we do expect some accumulating freezing rain, anywhere between a tenth and a quarter of an inch of freezing rain from Chicago northwestward to near Minneapolis.
Canada's most populous province has a new leader, Kathleen Wynne, a long-time member of the provincial legislature, will become Ontario's first female premier. And as Dan Karpinchuk reports, that's not the only barrier she'll be breaking.
Wynne, who is openly gay, began her campaign with the question, can a gay woman win? The answer came after the third ballot during Saturday's Liberal Leadership Convention in Toronto. She won with 1,050 votes over her main opponent, who had 866. She takes over a minority Liberal government, but says people in Ontario don't want another election. The 59-year-old Wynne has held several cabinet portfolios, including Minister of Transportation and Minister of Education. During her campaign, she vowed to fight for minorities and to strengthen ties within her own Liberal Party. She replaces outgoing Premier Dalton McGuinty, who has been in office since 2003. He announced in October that he would be stepping down, triggering the leadership race. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
Novak Djokovic, now the first man in the professional tennis era to win three consecutive Australian Open titles. He won the crown today in a hard-fought match against Britain's Andy Murray. He's now won four of his six Grand Slam titles in Melbourne. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science, technology, and economics in the modern world.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Weston, Massachusetts comes from Regis College, graduate and undergraduate programs in the arts and sciences. On the web at regiscollege.edu.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scher.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of the Eleanor Welsh Casey Theater on the campus of Regis College in Weston, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a flu-ridden, simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Fate has steered him to Says You today. We just hope the wheels don't come off. Tony Khan. Jeez. She's ready to shift her wit into high gear. We just hope she doesn't stall out. Francine Akbar. And his engine's been tuned, his oil's been checked, his tank topped off, and believe me, his motor is running, Mr. Tom Kemp.
Morning.
Who will lead on this occasion?
If GPS means getting pretty sloppy, that would be me.
Tony, you will be the captain. To my left, team two. He walked to the ferry, crossed the channel, bridged the canal, all the while dog in tow, Arnie Reisman. Gee. She traveled beside him, provided direction, protected his flanks, Paula Lyons. And she zoomed up Route 9, took the Wellesley Street exit, drove straight here to Regis, and found parking next town over. That's Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. Okay, who's leading?
I will Ms. be the Fox. Leader for my parking space in the next town.
Carolyn.
Yes.
Well, Captain.
Yep.
Correct answers are worth 10 points, or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. Yeah. For 5 points, define, and for an additional 5, try to divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, Grand Poobah.
Grand Poobah. That would be you, Richard.
Well, I hope so.
Grand Poobah.
The great one who oversees everything. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
It is, in fact. That's 5 points.
Yeah.
And where do you think this comes
from? And it's from
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Gilbert, I was going to guess Gilbert and Sullivan.
You're exactly right. 10 points. Very good.
Right. No nice
problem.
Job. Great.
To be really specific, do you know what Gilbert and Sullivan?
Oh, no.
I don't know. The Mikado?
The Mikado.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
All right.
That's right.
Very good.
One who holds a number of offices or exhibits inflated self-regard. From the Mikado, the Poobah holds, I think he's the Lord Chief Justice, the master of the buckhounds and the groom of the backstairs, you know, all that.
Right.
Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of go off half-cocked.
To go off half-cocked means to basically rush into some enterprise without being as prepared as you need to be and make a fool of yourself, really, or cause damage to others.
Yes, that's exactly right. 5 points.
To go off half-cocked, it probably has something to do with the way guns were fired back in the old days when a mechanism required that, as in a revolver, and my finger is immediately taking the shape of a Colt 45, which I learned at the age of 4, and I haven't quite forgotten.
Yeah.
The hammer is pulled, that's step number one, to engage the trigger part, and then when you pull the trigger, the hammer slams down, it hits the blasting cap, and off you go.
This is a good night for pardon me, it's a good start for them. Very good, Tony. That is exactly right. The hammer of a 17th century flintlock, actually.
I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't exactly the century I had in mind.
Say no more.
Yeah, to fully cock the gun was to prepare it for firing. The half-cock position was a safe position, which enabled access to the pan so you could load it. But if you then tried to fire it, it wouldn't really throw a spark. And if you went into battle that way, that was not a good idea. You were going off
half-cocked.
Try this one, Arnold. At loggerheads.
At loggerheads.
Definition and derivation of at loggerheads.
United States House of Representatives.
Exactly. Ten points, if ever I heard it.
Okay, that's what it means. It means you're going nowhere fast because you can't come to any terms of agreement. You're not compromising.
It's a good dose of anger.
In a state of dispute, heading for stalemate.
Yes. Yes. Stalemate. And with anger. Now, where is it from?
Loggerheads.
Is it from the deep?
It is not. That's what I thought.
No.
I thought it was either that or the shrike, you know, one or the other.
Yeah, right. Oh, so it has nothing to do with the animal kingdom.
No.
How about logging?
In a way, yes.
How about beer?
No, nothing.
It's not loggerheads. Yeah, right. You know, we're at Heads of Logger about this.
That's right. Might help.
might help. Oh,
so
boy.
Logging.
Logging. So is this where this is like a log jam? Is this have
anything? No, that's not real. I really didn't mean
to send me up that creek, did you?
It's not so much about the logging industry. It's more about slang that arises.
Is it anything to do with the felling of the trees?
No, nothing
it's
whatsoever.
Not.
Any thoughts on the other side?
Does it have to do with floating them down a river?
No, nothing. No.
Are you
How about
sure?
climbing them? How about climbing them?
Sure.
Am I sure?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure.
Because I come from a place where they do float the logs down the river to get from the forest to the mill.
Yeah.
And when they all jam up, you could think
I believe that's called a log jam.
That's a log jam.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Logger. Yeah.
Would it have to do with an animal that pulls something on which the logs are placed?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Does it have to do with being in the wrong place at the wrong time when the tree goes over?
No. Well, only in an odd sense, yes. But logger makes you think of wood, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a loggerhead would therefore be
a numbskull, a woodhead.
A wooden head, exactly.
Yeah.
A wooden
That's where
head.
It is.
That's all it means.
Yep, a blockhead.
A blockhead.
A block of wood or a fool, as two people locked in dispute are usually equally pig-headed. It seems obvious to say they are
wooden-headed.
It really is the U.S. House of Representatives. Oh, okay.
And you got the 10 points because you went to the House of Representatives.
Because I went to the House of Representatives.
Yeah. She was very clear.
Very clear.
They're
very
like
clear.
Chowderheads.
Try this one, Francine. Definition and derivation of pitched battle.
A pitched battle would be a intense battle, fully joined by both parties.
Baseball.
Oh, not baseball. No, good guess, cricket. Though.
Cricket?
Is it cricket?
No, it is not. You're right. You get the 5 points. It is literally a battle, just a
have anything to do with the application of pitch that itself, good. That tar-like substance, to something?
No, it does not. Well, only in a very... No, it does not. Let's make it easy.
That's the flu talking, Richard.
Yeah, that is the flu talking. I'm sorry.
Anything to do with pitching one's camp?
Yes. Very good, Francine. Can you expound on that just a little?
Well, you've got two sides.
Yes.
And they've both pitched camp.
Yes.
And the battle ensues.
What does pitched mean in that context?
Putting up your tents.
And? Well, it means protecting your turf and not wanting to give an inch, because you'd have to unpitch your tents.
And decamp.
And decamp.
And decamp. That's, in a way, Carolyn, what were you going to say?
I would say that it's a battle that lasts more than a day, because you have to pitch a tent and have a sleepover.
Boy, I sure am glad I asked that question.
That would be the great pajama brawl of 1812.
Yeah, pajama brawl.
No, in the sense of pitching a tent, once you pitch a tent, it doesn't move. Mm-hmm. It's fixed. Mm-hmm. It is a fixed position, and that is what a pitched battle literally is. A battle in which the plans, the site, are chosen in advance as distinct from a running battle or a skirmish, and therefore likely to be much more murderous. It is established, fixed, set up in one place. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose.
Probably involves some burning.
Could be. Give them 8 points for that. Try this one, Paula. Definition and derivation of goody two-shoes.
Oh, yes, that's my husband.
Yeah.
Well, goody two-shoes is a person who follows all the rules, does everything right, even when the other kids don't.
Exactly.
Teacher's pet, whatever. So goody two-shoes, how old is it, Richard, first of all? Does it come from a cartoon? Does it come from...
It's a character, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Is it a character?
Wasn't it a character?
It was a character. Very
in a
good.
Cartoon?
In a comic
song.
Strip or a
copy?
Way before that.
Oh,
way
really?
Before that.
So in a cave maybe one painting. Of the melodramas?
Way after that. No.
In Lascaux.
In one of the melodramas, you know, where...
No.
Where Dudley Do-Right is always rescuing somebody. Is there a
I was really
two-shoes?
Surprised about this, actually. It goes back away. It's
Shakespeare?
It's a theater character?
From an early English children's story written in 1765.
Yes.
Knowing that, take a shot at the author. You'll never get this.
1765?
Yeah, take a shot. Wild shot.
Too late for Swift. It would be like...
Richard Brinsley Sheridan. I don't know.
No.
Richard Brinsley. Spell Brinsley.
Let's not go there.
That's going off the track.
Dunn, the poet.
These are all good guesses.
Samuel.
Collie
Sibber. Who is the essayist?
Now, anybody on the other side want to take a shot at
it? It ought to be
Cinderella. Was it Johnson?
It was not Johnson, no.
It's not a fairy tale.
It wasn't Fielding.
Was it a lady?
It was not. Hmm. Anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Nope. Listen to this. Written by Oliver Goldsmith.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1765, Oliver. Goody only owned one shoe. When she was given a pair of them, she was so pleased that she showed them to everyone, saying two shoes. Oh. In those days, Goody was a common nickname for a married woman, being short for goodwife. Yeah. And the character's real name was Marjorie Meanwell.
Meanwell. She means well.
Wow. And finally, give them 8 points for that, because they went a long way. And finally, Tom, try this one. To clutch at straws.
To clutch at straws.
Desperation, trying to find solutions where they ain't.
Hmm. Yes.
But clutch at straws, where does it come from? Grasping well, if you are trying to get up into the hayloft...
Mm-hmm. It would not be good, yeah.
And there's no ladder.
Yeah.
And that's probably not where it is.
There's also the old sheaf thing that was like the symbol of power... That the term fascist came for because the Latin for it was fasces. So to clutch at straws would mean to somehow try to get that Oh, I can tell from your expression, Richard.
A wonderful reference. Wonderful. Totally off the point, but a wonderful reference.
Does it have to do with when you draw straws to see who goes?
No, it does
Ooh,
not.
Ooh, that's a good one, Tom.
That was a good one. I like that.
But clutching at straws.
It is to desperately resort to any inadequate remedy just to get help and support.
Yeah.
Can you think of a
time? Does it have to do with drowning?
It has everything to do with drowning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very good, Tony. Nice job.
I was just warming up.
It is all about drowning. Very good. A drowning man will clutch at a straw, the old proverb, referring to a stick or twig, which you would grab at if you were going down for the second or third time. And that's what clutching at straws meant.
Yeah.
Very good, you guys. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Bo Winnaker Jazz Ensemble. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Tony, if he can sniff out the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word jerk. J-E-R-Q-U-E. Jerk. Folks?
Wow.
Says You makes its sesquiannual return to Seattle, Washington, as part of this spring schedule of live performances. On June 22nd and 23rd, we'll become Soulcesters, as we once again invade Town Hall with special guests and musical surprises. Tickets, information, and details for these matinees are available, of course, at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. Other dates for this spring will be posted in the next few days on the site, and we hope you'll keep your eyes peeled to see if this is the year you'll be able to catch a live performance of the show. And who knows? Maybe we'll find out who first peeled one's eyes. Says You returns after this from home. Many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at saysyou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That is the Bo and Bill Winokur Band. Thank you, guys. That's Bo Winokur on the trumpet and flugelhorn, Bill Winokur on the drums, Neil Green on the keyboard, Tom Petrakis on bass fiddle, and Marie Lawler on percussion. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Let's take a moment and thank our scorekeepers. That's Mr. Benjamin Schur on the left and Miss Ellie Lobbs on the right. Thanks for keeping the score, you guys.
And what a great hat Ellie has on.
Yes. I can't believe you're sitting with that hat. You must be absolutely dying up there.
The hat is a cupcake. With pink pom-poms and a red cherry
and
on
a
top.
Cherry.
It's fabulous.
And might I say, perfect for radio.
Yes.
Just perfect for radio. We have had a few moments with the word jerk. We will go first to a puzzled-looking Carolyn Fay Fox.
Puzzled? I am not puzzled. Jerk is a French dance of the 60s.
It is.
No.
The 60s? Is that what you said?
Yes. It's not what the card says. What the card says, jerk is a verb. It means to scrutinize the paperwork of a ship during a smuggling investigation.
We got an ah from the side of the audience. Did you hear that?
To scrutinize the
papers of a ship.
Oh, a ship.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Could be that, or could be something else. What say you, Arnold?
Well, I think it's another one of these little odd things the French come up with every once in a while. I don't think it's, you know, I mean, I don't know if this was named for the guy or what, but it is the cushioned floor of a hot air balloon.
Le jerk. Le jerk.
Say no more, no more. I don't know.
Cushioned floor.
The cushioned floor of a hot air balloon.
Yes.
That's your story.
And I'm sticking with it. Yeah.
Could be that. Not much else to say about that. What say you, Paula?
Well, I say that jerk is to distinguish counterfeit goods, to be able to identify counterfeit goods amidst, and, you know, different from the real thing. Which, when you think about it, in France, they have a lot of that haute couture going on over there. So I suppose this is quite important to them.
To be able to distinguish counterfeit from real, the upholstered floor,
hot air balloon.
Yes, hot air balloon. There's a hot air balloon, a floor, and it's cushioned. Or to look at the papers of a ship for smuggling. It's one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
I thought if you're a real jerk, that's how you think it's spelled.
I thought it had something to do with chicken. But
there seems to be a general feeling that it's French in origin. Mm-hmm. The Montgolfier brothers were the original hot air balloonists. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to know that they thought ahead and realized you might need a cushioned floor if the hot air should go out.
Actually, the Montgolfier, while they did invent it, they didn't go up in it. They hired for
they
that.
They were very smart.
So the hot air was coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, exactly.
The identifying, it's like the difference between faux couture and haute couture.
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little bit too regular a definition, don't you think? One thing's French, one thing's fashion, therefore... You know, but Richard wouldn't go for something like that alone, late at night, with what he calls his dictionary wide open on his lap.
Whatever that is, whatever that dictionary is.
Unless you've got something to say in favor of scrutinizing the papers of a ship during a smuggling investigation.
That's your choice?
I'm kind of like leaning towards the cushioned floor of a hot air balloon.
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. If it's French, it's more likely to be a noun than a verb.
Yes.
Because it would be jerqué.
Jerqué.
So I'm kind of leaning to the noun interpretation.
Très bien. I think
You're going for the cushion floor?
Yes.
I presume he means the floor of the basket, not the
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. When I heard Arnie say that, I thought that was quite amusing. Now I'm thinking that that's probably what the answer is.
I think also, since it is French, and you're having lunch, undoubtedly, in the hot air balloon, if you slice a sausage, you don't want the sausage to bounce up from a hard floor and possibly blow a hole through the
Or just fall through the basket.
Or that. Well, hello. I think it's unanimous then. We're going to number two.
We're going for the cushion floor.
For no reason whatsoever.
Yes, okay.
That's a unanimous decision.
Right, that's what you said, right?
Yes, that's my hypothesis.
Arnold, okay. They've gone for the noun, that the jerk is the covered floor on the bottom of the balloon. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Jerk, please make something up.
As well you did. Oh.
Now, Richard.
Okay, audience.
It's only fair.
It's your turn. What do you think?
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
How many say to examine the papers of a ship? How many say to distinguish counterfeit from real? Whoa. I don't know. That's a pretty divided audience, yeah. But somebody up there was telling the truth. Who was it?
Jerk. To examine papers as of a ship to uncover smuggling.
There you go. 10 points for Carolyn's team.
Some bizarre nautical term?
Okay. Let's go on to round three. Missing words. Each word in the following lists combine with one other word to form a familiar term. 10 points if you can provide us with the missing word. For example, if the list were cut, hewn, house, and draft, it
rough.
Would be rough.
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 Yes. Rough cut, heart. Rough hewn, rough yeah. house, and rough draft.
Oh,
right. Okay? Everybody get where we're going?
We got it.
Carolyn, try this one. Drab. D-R-A-B. Oil.
Oil.
Loaf.
Loath.
And green.
Olive.
Is exactly right.
Oh, loaf.
Very good. Holy mackerel.
Wow. That loaves. Very good.
Try this one, Tony.
Spam.
Spam.
Spam, 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 spam.
Spam, spam.
What word goes with all of these? Wax. W-A-X. Marked. M-A-R-K-E-D.
K-E-D.
Ring. And peace. P-I-E-C-E. Wax, marked, ring, and peace.
Oh, yeah.
It's not candle. It's not floor.
Oh.
This may be Carolyn's category.
wax. Ceiling? No. Oh, I'm drawing a blank.
Well, you got to give it your best shot here.
Well.
Wax, marked, ring, and peace. I know the other side knows.
Earwax. Earring.
Ear is ear. Right. Do I get in the... Oh, you got it. You finally got it. All right, Arnie. Try this one. What word goes with all of these? Junior. Major. Bush.
Bush.
And B. B-E.
B-E?
Yes.
League.
League.
Well, you know what? It's actually leaguer, but
leaguer.
Yes, that's
yeah, leaguer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
junior leaguer, major
Bush
leaguer,
league, major league,
Bush
junior leaguer,
and
yeah.
B leaguer. Yes.
Why not?
All right, try this one, Francine. Let's see how you do with this. What word goes with all of these? Fire, F-I-R-E. Bow, B-O-W. Hatch.
Hatch.
H-A-T-C-H. And word. W-O-R-D.
Yeah.
Well, there's
got
man.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, man.
Fireman, bowman, hatchman, wordman.
No.
What
does a hatchman do?
He oversees the fish hatchery.
Okay. The hatchman.
Booby hatch, booby word, booby bow, and a fire booby.
Booby fire.
No, fire booby.
Fire booby. I'm sorry.
I need your help, team.
Yes.
They may not
know.
We're grasping at those proverbial straws.
Wood fire, wood word.
The audience knows. Does the band know?
The band knows.
I was on this show once where the band won.
Yeah, that's true. In Vermont.
Yeah, the band won.
Oh, cross. Cross.
I'm sorry?
Cross.
Cross is
crossbow,
exactly right.
Crossfire.
Good job.
Crosshatch.
Oh.
Thank you. Cross.
Crossfire, crossbow, crosshatch, and crossword.
Good.
Try this one, Paula. What is the word that goes with all of these? Back. B-A-C-K, of course. Elbow. Wiggle.
Oh.
And chat.
Room. Room. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, what? Now, come on.
You're not even giving him a chance.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Back room, elbow room, wiggle room, and chat room is exactly right. And finally, Tom, try this one. What word goes with all of these? Bed.
Mm-hmm.
B-E-D. Sheet.
Sheet.
H-E-E-T.
Mm-hmm.
Hard. H-A-R-D. And kid. K-I-D.
Rock.
Rock,
rock. Yeah.
Is exactly right. 10 points.
Yeah.
Nice job, you guys.
Ah.
I knew you'd come up with that hard rock and kid rock. I knew you'd get that one.
This week's Spotlight Round comes at the request of Alicia Cooper of Houston, Texas. Alicia writes, many years ago, you did a question about words that have two completely opposite definitions. I really like the idea of that, but I can't remember a single one. Can you repeat that for a longtime listener? We shall, Alicia. Back we go to season two, a day when Barry Nolan joined us for a round of antilogies. I'll give you the contrapuntal definitions for the following antilogical words. An example, the word trim can mean to cut short or to embellish. Carolyn?
Yes.
A word that would mean both prenuptial tie or military battle.
Prenuptial tie or military battle. Engagement.
Engagement.
An engagement.
Exactly.
10
right.
points. Very
Excellent.
Good.
Hmm.
Prenuptial tie or military battle is engagement. Tony? Okay. Wow. An equal or a superior?
Peer.
A peer is also correct. 10 points.
Wow.
How do you like the new bell, incidentally?
Very good.
Getting quite a
Love
ring.
That bell.
Right. I saw Ray Fallon's eyes just jump right out of his head right there. Arnie, to harden or to soften?
To gel.
No, to
harden or to soften.
Well, actually, to
mold.
Gel.
To gel.
Isn't that an interesting
thought?
Yeah. Yes.
That's sort of an in-between.
Yeah. To
Isn't
mold.
It totally depressing that I got to give this guy 6 points for that
give
stupid
me
answer?
What is it then?
You'll get 6 points for that.
No.
Set is no set. Mold.
No, to harden or to soften. Any help from the other side?
Cure?
No. Any help from the audience?
Soften a floor?
Temper.
Temper is exactly right.
Temper.
Very good.
Temper.
To temper
the
is to harden or to soften.
Right.
Francine.
Wow. Very good.
So if someone says temper, temper, then you have absolutely no idea.
Yes.
You have
no idea.
No idea.
Francine, to rend in twain or to adhere to?
Tear, stick.
To rend in twain or adhere to? To adhere to.
Cleave.
Yeah.
Cleave is exactly right. 10 points. Very good.
Cleave.
This is a tough category. Paula, official permission or official punishment?
Ticket. You could get a ticket to do something. You could get a ticket.
Sentence.
Oh, 2 points.
Term.
Official permission.
Any grant. Thoughts from that side?
Grant.
Official punishment. Grant. Sentence.
No.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, you know.
Any help from the other side?
Well, right, but not. That's not really
no.
much.
No.
Right.
No. Any help from the audience?
Authorization.
Whoa.
Wow,
I got it.
What did they say?
Gee, some help from the audience.
Sanction.
It is sanction, S-A-N-C-T-I-O-N. Yeah. Sanction, right. Yes, very good.
The panel is the only people in the room that don't get it.
Yeah, that's...
that's it.
Why
don't you just
picture.
Turn the podium around?
Yeah.
We'll play You Says.
All right, Barry, to fasten together or to crumble apart?
Fasten together or crumble apart?
Well, you know, Velcro does work both ways.
Blue cheese.
No.
Yes.
Blue crumble.
Feta.
I'm sorry. Feta complete.
More to crumble complete. Under the weight of.
To crumble.
Sink.
What was
crush?
The first word? Random. Crumble under the weight of. To
fasten together or crumble apart.
Oh!
Any help from the other side?
Buckle.
To buckle.
Buckle.
Yes, very good.
Buckle.
No points awarded. Buckle. Excellent.
That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. That's our look back. Now, back to the present.
Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Please create a definition for the word wittol.
No.
W-I-T-T-O-L, wittol. Folks? Print. Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You, Volumes 1 and 2, feature games from our first two seasons on the air. They're perfect for evenings of parlor games with friends and family, and even better to keep the mind alive while you're winging high above pond and prairie. Picture this, you're driving to Cousin Luther's house and the kids are rearranging the back seat. Just pop out a quiz and minimize the damage. You have only to thank Says Us on our website at saysyou.net. Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Says You spring schedule of tapings will be posted on our site in the coming days, featuring stops from coast to coast. There's our wintry forays in the snow-covered hills of New England and our summer solstice stop in Seattle, Washington, for which tickets are now available. Check it out at saysyou.net and come join us for our special brand of wit and wordplay. Find out how, when, where, and why at saysyou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U.
That is the Bo and Bill Winokur Band. Thank you very much, guys. You have, something's coming out soon, right? And you should tuck it in, but I mean...
we are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, my brother and myself, my brother Bill and myself, and we just recorded a new CD called Getting Some Fun Out of Life in honor of the 50th anniversary.
Hey, all great. Right.
All right, congratulations.
You're getting some fun.
We have had a few moments with the word wittol. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, you know, I'm fascinated how different languages make different distinctions that others don't about relationships. You know, like some languages don't distinguish between a cousin and an in-law, for instance. I learned just the other day. There's a widow, widower, anyway. A wittol is one of those terms, and it is for a man who is unaffected by his wife's infidelity, which makes him either a saint, a bigamist, or deceased.
Or you know.
But a wittol is a man unaffected by his wife's infidelity.
A man unaffected by his wife's infidelity.
It's also something you do with a knife and a stick.
No, feel free, really. I don't want to stifle a boo ever. It's too valuable. Man unaffected by his wife's infidelity. It could be that, or it could be something else. What say you, Francine?
Well, it's closely related, but not exactly.
Okay.
A wittol is an old English term for a pregnant goat.
And that's close because a pregnant goat is a wittol. A wittol.
With kid.
Okay. With kid. With kid. Okay. Could be that. Or it could be something else. Tom?
It is from the Old English. And it is the non-dealing hand in cribbage.
What?
The non-dealing hand. In cribbage, there are two hands, the dealer and the wittol.
Uh-huh.
The non-dealing hand in cribbage. You're either the dealer or the wittol.
Okie dokie.
It could be that, too.
With all the nonsense going on this stage,
with all these definitions.
Yes.
With all the gin joints and all the wounds.
Yeah. Okay, then.
It could be the non-dealing hand in cribbage. It could be a pregnant goat. Or it could be a man unaffected by his wife's infidelity. It is one of those three, and the choice, Carolyn, belongs to you.
Yeah, the non-dealing hand in cribbage.
I thought you said the non-squealing ham with cabbage, but... not hearing right.
I've been working on my pronunciation.
Yeah, it's all right. It's
but you're an actor, you gotta.
I'd rule out the pregnant goat. I think in Old England, people had enough time to say pregnant goat.
And probably said it with even more syllables. Right. I'm liking Tony's.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Well, there should be a word for...
A man unaffected by his wife's infidelity.
Didn't you give us some biblical thing about a woman who claims to be a widow and it really isn't?
Can't prove her husband is dead.
Can't prove her husband is dead. You did a word like this once before.
Yeah, but this doesn't seem like a biblical word.
No, but it sounds like it came from the same brain.
Wittol. Oh, that's okay with me if you go with Tony.
I don't know.
What the heck? No, I think it's. I'll go with Tony.
You're going to go with Tony. Tony, they think a wittol is a man unaffected by his wife's infidelity. Is that in fact what it is?
Well, I don't know how they divine these things, but that's exactly what it is.
That's exactly what it is. 10 points for Carolyn's team. Let's go out with a round that frequent contributor Bob Byrd of Birmingham, Alabama calls...
Bob Byrd.
Remember Bob Byrd? Yeah, Hall of Famer Bob Byrd.
Yep.
He calls this one Quit Whining.
Quit Whining.
From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the type of wine I have in mind. An example, Hurl Again is Riesling.
Hurl Again is Riesling. Okie dokie.
It's also ripples.
Should have saved this one for the second round. Second game.
I'm going to put that down because.
All right, try this one. Carolyn, type of wine brought to mind by the clue Newborn Valley.
Valley?
Newborn Valley.
Yes.
In Beaujolais Nouveau?
No.
Newborn. V-A-L-L-E-Y?
Yes, Newborn Valley.
Infant.
Valley? Zinfandel?
Zinfandel.
Zinfandel is right, of course.
Zinfandel.
Oh,
infant
of course.
Del.
Bad.
A Newborn Valley is an Infandel, yes. It's,
Oh.
Thanks, team.
Oh. Okay. You have to get your brain.
Wasn't
in a certain...
much of a hiss, madam. I could give.
Sure.
Right. Try this one, Tony. Type of wine brought to mind by the clue fake ache.
Fake ache. Mm-hmm. Something pain. Faux. Fake ache.
Champagne is exactly right. 10 points. A fake ache is a champagne. Yes, it is. All right, try this one.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
You put that one together.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Try this one, Arnold. Money from room rental, perhaps.
Money from room rental.
I'm pretty ashamed of this one.
Yeah, I bet you would be. Money something ends in lease or room rental. Money from room rental.
Cash on the barrel head.
Let
cash.
Oh, this is pretty bad.
Check.
It must be bad.
Lease.
I shouldn't have done
lease.
This.
Pin money. Pinot noir.
I'm so ashamed of myself.
Pinot.
So ashamed of yourself.
Not really.
Money from room rental, perhaps. Money from rent. Rent.
Lot.
I'll be interested in your opinion when this is...
rent.
What?
Don't say it. There's the other
Sauvignon
side.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Bordeaux.
Bordeaux is
very
exactly
good.
Right.
Yeah, Bordeaux.
Boy, I think she lost weight on that one. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's good.
Money from room rental is Bordeaux.
Oh,
yes.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. All right.
Try this one, Francine. Eternity with Shemp and Curly.
Oh.
Type of wine brought to mind by the clue... Eternity with Shemp and Curly.
Eternity.
Stooges.
Ever.
Stooges.
This is great radio, by the way.
Oh,
yes, this
is... oh, got it.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean
you
have it?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saturnity?
No.
Saturnity.
Right. From here to Saturnity.
No. That's not Saturnity, but the other side does have it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They really do. Eternity with Shemp and Curly.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if they're going to get this one.
No,
I go to the other side.
Moselle. Oh, Moselle.
Yes, yes.
The mistress of puns.
Where's this Bob live?
I thought that was a good one. I'm sorry. Eternity with Shemp and Curly is, of course, Moe's Hell. Try this one, Paula. The Age of Wet Dirt.
wet dirt being mud. Age of Wet mud. Dirt.
Type of wine brought to mind by the age of Wet Dirt.
Muscatel?
No, Muscatel.
The Age of Wet Dirt.
Merlot,
Pinot Noir,
Pinot Grigio.
Don't say it out loud. Does anybody know in the audience?
Oh,
okay, a couple people know.
Mud.
mud.
Does the other side know? Don't say it. Does the band know?
Age.
Do the scorekeepers know?
Yeah, of course they do.
Well, what do they know? It's wine. It's an underage people.
Chardonnay.
No.
No, it's not that.
Tell them, audience. The Mud Era.
Oh,
Mud Era. The age of wet dirt is the Mud Era. Madeira.
Okay, Madeira. Okay,
Madeira. Very good, audience. And finally, Tom, try this. Mm-hmm. Most important of Dad's sisters.
Chateau Neuf de Pop.
Chateau Neuf de Pop. No.
The most important.
De Pop. I love that. Chateau Neuf de Pop.
Rosé.
Why Rosé?
That was my favorite.
We all have an Aunt Rosie.
Most important of Dad's sisters. Dad's sisters?
Yes.
Of Dad's sisters.
Something aunt, right? Aunt.
I got it.
Yeah. I got it.
I think Paula may have gotten it.
Yeah.
First. Now, let's not always see the same hands.
Yes. Goody two shoes.
You guys got any ideas?
I don't have any.
I don't have any.
You were getting there. I'm going to give
you. Can't think of anything that has an aunt.
Chianti.
Yay. Is right.
Good job.
The most important of Dad's sisters is the key auntie. So that's, you know what, 10 points for that. That was a good effort. And it was a great score. It was a great score for those guys. 78 points this week. Congratulations, Tony, but I got news for you.
Yeah.
Not enough. 98 points for this week's winners, Carol and Faye Fox's team. Congratulations.
Very good.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Stephen Hall and all the good folks here at Regis College. Sharon Salkind write the words. Antonio Oliard is the Secretary of Sound. And Zach Moore meets crisis after crisis with steely resolve. This week's closing thought comes from the fabulous Dick and Carol Fligger of Edgartown, Massachusetts. They tell the story of a bald friend who received a hairbrush for Christmas, but kept it anyway. When they asked him why, he said, "I don't know, I just couldn't part with it." That's Dick and Carol Flager of Edgartown, Massachusetts. That's it this week from snowy New England. We'll see you all next week.
Support for Says You in Weston, Massachusetts comes from Regis College. Graduate and undergraduate programs in the arts and sciences. On the web at regiscollege.edu. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Discovering the Civil War, a landmark exhibition from the National Archives, will be on view at the Tennessee State Museum, the only stop in the Southeast, through September 1st. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to view some of America's most important documents and the powerful stories behind them, including the original Emancipation Proclamation, which will only be on public view from February 12th through the 18th. Reservations are recommended. Details are at tnmuseum.org.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone became hit animators with South Park and then swept Broadway with Book of Mormon. But deep down, it's always been about rock and roll.
Of course, as soon as we found even a small bit of money and fame, we decided we were going to be a rock band. And we rehearsed more than we worked on the first shows of South Park.
That's Trey Parker. He and his partner Matt Stone join us this week on Sound Opinions.
Sunday evenings at 7.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.